Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
I don't know about you, but I'm cheering with the people. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Starbright this Thursday. We just want to thank God for everything that he's done, doing, and yet to do. We're in January, but we're progressing nicely through the year, and we give God the glory. Starbright is on the air every Thursday on this perfect channel. Woo-hoo! 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you know what? You can even get the programs again on the podcast area. So if you go on the website, you'll see there's an area podcast. Look at Starbright or Morning Dew, and you'll see the previous programs. So you cannot miss out. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. We worship you. We adore you. You are our Lord and friend. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. Everlasting Father, our Lord and friend. We are grateful for who you are. Father, my God, we're grateful for all that you've done. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for the way you're moving. Father, my God, we're grateful for your protection. We're grateful for your hand of mercy. We're grateful, Father, my God, because it's in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being. Have your way, Daddy. Have your way. King of kings, Lord of lords, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to another program. Now, we have been looking even before Christmas at relationships, especially relationship of Christ and the church, where it relates it to marriage, husband and wife. But as if you've listened to the previous ones, we can take things out of this for every relationship that we have, because we have got to be ambassadors for the Lord, and we've got to represent him in every situation of our lives. So I want us to really reflect on how we come across, how we are, and are we representing the Lord in every day situation, circumstance, in our relationships. Marriage, you know, a relationship with Christ in marriage. If we look at Ephesians, and I know we've been looking at it, but you can never overlook, it says, and further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it goes on to say, you know, but that submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, what does that portray to your mind? Submitting is like releasing your own concepts. It's like, you know, you submit to the authority in the room. You submit to that you come under. So if everyone is supposed to come under in a relationship, out of reverence for Christ, out of respect for Christ, because you want to represent Christ, we can see that no one is going to be thinking, well, I'm over this person, I'm over that person. But everyone is looking at how in this situation, how in this relationship, how in this marriage are they representing Christ. And it's a constant thing, because we have that constant battle between, you know, the spirit man and the flesh, you know, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, you know, are they aligned with Christ, or is it how based on, you know, those impulse urges, you know, just want to say that, I just want to. If we look back at Genesis, you know, it is a covenant of unity, humility, you know, role models. Now, if we look back at Genesis, because sometimes we look at Ephesians, and that's it. But if we look back at Genesis, the beginning, where God ordained marriage, where it all began, we don't want to, you know, because we looked at that before. He says, in Genesis 1, 26, and then God said, Let us make people in our image to be like ourselves. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the livestock, wild animals and small animals. So God created people in his own image. God patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish. And he goes on to that. Okay. Now that's what he said in Genesis 2. It says, when the Lord God made the heavens and earth, there were no plants or grain growing on the earth, for the Lord had not sent any rain. And, you know, and it goes on to, and I'm skipping over because I really want us to get to some of these points. He said, right, in 6, but water came up from the ground and watered all the land. And the Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed life into it. The man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had created. And, you know, we've got that. It says in 9:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of bird, animal. Then he made the animals, because he said it's not good for man to be alone. Then he said in 20, but still there was no companion suitable for him, referring to Adam. So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep. He took some of Adam's ribs and closed up the place from which he'd taken it. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. At last Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own flesh and bone. She will be called woman because she's taken out of man. Right. And then it says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, I'm just trying to skim through and jump, because we need to know that this is how it was. And you know, if we go to 25, it says, now, although Adam and his wife were naked, neither of them felt any shame. They didn't have any secrets, you could say. They didn't have any, like, right, okay, this is what's going on. There was no, and I'm going to look at another translation, because, you know, we can minimize what it's saying there, you know, and I don't want us to minimize, because there was a lot that, you know, it says, it's, I'm looking at the Living Translation, that the Lord formed the man out of the dust from the ground. He breathed his breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. I've gone right to the end. In 23, at last the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and the woman were both naked, but they felt no shame. There was no excuse me, there was no secrets, there was no shame, there was no, like, there was a humility about it. The Lord had brought them together. There was no, like, barriers. And that it was the original intention. And they both, you know, they had that communication, because in some, in Genesis, it talks about they walked with God in the garden, you know, because it, and you might think, how is that? Because remember that part where it said, and they hid from him because they were ashamed. So it's reiterating there was no embarrassment, there was no barrier that between them, and there was no barrier between them and God. So when we're looking at this, we have to look at that's what God's original intention to be with marriage, original intention to be relationship with us. No barrier, no obstacles, nothing preventing that from communication, that relationship, that fellowship, nothing. And that's how, you know, the Lord, the creator, the author of life did. And he created that perfect love. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that's why Adam said, you know, exclaimed, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. It's good. He designed Eve so perfectly. Eve came out of. So in Adam, once Eve was had come, there was a peace. So we can look at it, you know, we've looked at it two sides of the same coin, that there's some aspects of life that the other person is needed to achieve that different plane, that different level, that different thing, because Eve was taken out of. Now, that doesn't mean to say that people are not complete if they're single. No, not at all. But when you're married, there is that level of, it's like you see, you cover each other. There's a protection that comes. There is a different, like you're in a different kind of class, a different expectation. And class, like, you know, you go from one class to another, you're in a different course, you're in a different subject, different rules apply. Okay, marriage is the only human institution that predates sin, because sin came when Eve ate and gave to Adam, but before that they were already together. Marriage was there then. Everything was good. Now sin, sinful nature, has certainly affected marriage and has caused, you know, a lot of trouble in that relationship. Have you ever tried to talk to someone and you're there thinking they don't really get what I'm saying, but, you know, or they may say the same words, but it's like, no, they've misunderstood it because the emphasis is on different words, or it might be they've not heard correctly, or different things, that communication. And even with ourselves, when we're praying to God, you know, sometimes you just feel like you're talking to yourself, sometimes you just feel you're tapping in. So there are things that affect the communication, affect, you know, relationships. Now, this is because we're still in this sinful nature. It doesn't mean that we should just give up and say, well, I'm in my sinful nature, nothing I can do about it. But we need to strive. You know, we need to strive. Sometimes, you know, you could be learning something, or you're a teacher, you're teaching something, and the person doesn't get it. you encourage a person to still strive for it, to still strive and get it and understand, so they can grow and develop, and they can then apply that new knowledge to their lives. And that is what we have got to do today. We've got to keep striving, keep reaching for that prize, keep reaching for that goal. Now, when we look at Ephesians, it is trying to let us know that God had the plan regarding marriage. God had the plan regarding relationship. Because he's not only the creator, but he's the redeemer. He's the one that has designed the redemption story to get things back. So even when things look a bit off in a relationship, a bit off, that it can still be redeemed. It can still get back to that place. Everybody just has to readjust, realign. And sometimes, you know, let us be honest, you know, all we know is not all that there is. Our understanding of something, and this is why reading the word is so important, our understanding of something will change the more we look at it, study it, reflect on it. We'll get a deeper meaning, a deeper, and then we will learn more and be able to apply more. So if we just look at it, you know, like I said, sometimes things are taken. The verse 22 in Ephesians 5:22 said, "You wives will submit to your husbands," and that is all that someone says. Like we said before, it's then actually shortens the meaning of everything, because as you do to the Lord is what it should be. But we need to also realize it starts off with submitting to each other out of reverence. And then many times that first line, 21, is skipped, and people are just told. It then places things out of context. We're going to have a break, and I want you to really reflect on this, because we want to improve our relationships. Our relationship with Christ, our relationship within a marriage. You might be that intended, that person, or even your relationship with your colleagues. You want to get better at it. You want to be more like Christ. So we need to reflect. And even though we're talking about marriage, I want us to reflect on how are we in a lot of our relationships. How are we? We'll be back after the break. Welcome, welcome back. Welcome back. The producer told me it was 13 minutes. As tempting as it was to do 13 minutes, I just thought, no, let's do five. Let's do five. But welcome back. We're looking at marriage. We have, over the weeks and even before Christmas, looked at, you know, the ingredients for marriage. We looked at humility. We looked at role models. You know, and we did emphasize about looking at the Lord. And I'm still emphasizing that because, you know, we are still in growth. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have mentors or someone that you that works with you on an individual basis, or, you know, or supports a couple supporting another couple. No, that doesn't mean they can't, but we need to always look at the Lord as well. Now, another one that, you know, we were looking at before the break in Ephesians 5:21, and further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in my Bible, it's titles that passages, Spirit-guided relationships, wives and husbands. But I'm also wanting us to have spirit-guided relationships with every relationship with we have. What is the Lord saying about how we should conduct ourselves in that relationship? So one of another thing that is very that passage actually tells us, you know, when you submit, it's, I know we're talking about, it's not really what you come under, you know, someone else's authority, you come under, and that takes a lot of sacrifice, because you're then having to maybe compromise, work on a one project, work on something that's not just about you but about the other person as well. You could say it needs to be inclusive of the other person, and that doesn't mean that when you submit and sacrifice that you sin. No, but you consider their part of their contribution. Now, sometimes, like I said before, we run to number 22 and say, why we should submit, why we should submit. Please, let's go to 21 and look, submit to one another. If we can submit to one another, that means I'm going to listen to my husband's opinion on the matter, my husband's going to listen to my opinion on the matter, and we're going to work together to sacrifice some of our ideas to come for a common purpose, okay, for a common goal, so that there's unity in the camp. So I want us to bear that in mind, two sides, as I said before, of the same coin. This verse is the opening to the passage, like I said, right, and this passage is Spirit-guided relationships, wives and husbands. So it starts with that. It's a call for every Christian man and woman to submit to one another because you respect Jesus. Okay? To sacrifice some of your ideas because you respect Jesus. Now, submission is not subjugation, and sometimes that's what we mix it up, because, you know, both are with sub, but sometimes our perception of a word is not the fullness of what that word is. Every now and then when I see a word in a sentence that I think, it's like questioning my own perception, I look at the meaning. And I find that there are quite a lot of words that have several meanings. And as we're growing, we learn one meaning and we run with it. But that is not all there is to that. And that's why we look at different translations as well of the Bible. Because it's been translated, it's been changed from, you know, from one language to another. So we need to understand, when they said it like this, in this version, is that all it meant, or did it mean something else? Is there another translation to the world? Now, subjugation is a forced submission, and it's absolutely unchristian. It's not something a man should do for a woman should do. It's not forced. If we are in Christ, God did not call us to be, you know, subject to something. He said submit. And if we're in Christ, remember, we're sons and daughters of the Most High. You know, He is the Creator, the Almighty, our Heavenly Father, everlasting. You know, so we have our positions, we have our roles. This is what, you know, He's put that clearly, but it's not one under the other. I think we need to look at it like a working together for a common goal and purpose. It's His will for us to have to, you know, to have that Genesis relationship, because that's what He designed. But He has got Jesus as the example. He's placed that so that if we can treat each other as Christ treated people when He was here, we're in a good standing. We're in a good position then. I just want us to really think about these things. We talked about submission and sacrifice. Now, sacrifice can be painful because sometimes we can think of one thing and we're stuck on that. We have to sacrifice that, but we have to come together. And some things just come to mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I was watching a program, and this program, Love It or List It. If you're in England, you probably have watched it. And it's always about a couple coming together to either love a house, do it up, love a house, or list it and sell. And in the process, when they meet them, they're so divided in opinion. But in the process of working together on the project, they come together. And many times, they either decide, right, we're going to love it for a bit and list it, or we're going to list it, or we're going to... They come to that common purpose, that common goal. And before, they might have been, you know, months, years divided. It might have caused a lot of friction and tension. Now, when they communicate effectively, when they look at from the other person's perspective, they can see that, right, okay, this person loves the house because of X, Y, and Z. That person wants to list because of X, Y, and Z. I don't want to, but let me go with them on the journey. And part of it is that, you know, they might start doing up the house. The other part, it might be going to look at a house, and they talk about it and the communication. This is effectively a good way of coming. Work on each other's ideas. Right, you want to do this. Right, you don't want to do this. Let's work on it. Let's see. Let's investigate. Let's look at and come up with a common consensus on the journey. Because then you will have sought to understand the other person instead of just thinking it's my way. You know, as Pastor always says, seek to understand than rather to be understood. If everyone is seeking in a relationship to understand the person, you know, we're submitting, we're coming under because we're having a look at that idea. We're having a look at that opinion. We're having a look at it. And then we're putting heads together. We're putting minds together to work on it. You know, for a Christian, every human relationship requires some level of submitting to others, of compromises, giving in, putting the other first, or letting them take the lead. You know, like humility, submission is a necessary ingredient for unity. It's a working together, it's putting minds together. Submission, though, is not enforced but offered. It's a free will act. It's an act of free will taken by, you know, as a child of God, to respect the other person's ideas and ideals. Submission is an expression of humility, honor, and love. You know, it's to, and we need to carefully watch things. In a relationship, to become one, everybody has to give up something. You know, you can't take everything you have. You have to give up something. You let go for the sake of the other person. Everybody, though, gives up something different. Everyone has to give up something different. It might be an ideal. It might be a thought. It might be your own perspective view on something. It has to be given up. sometimes we have, you know, a fixed mindset on something because of a previous experience. We need to remember we're not in that experience anymore, and let it go and let God. Let it go and let God. We're going to have a short break, and we'll be back just to round up. We'll be back after the break.
Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give them the highest praise. Somebody lift them up in this place. We worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. You have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm
We're looking at Ephesians 5, and we looked at sacrifice, we looked at submission, and we looked at the honor, humility, and love that's required in a relationship, with that significant other, but even, you know, in relationships, to represent Christ, we need to have that humility, that mutual respect for the other person. Now, in first, we talked about you giving up, you know, something. Not everybody gives up the same thing. Sacrifice is essential. In verse 31, it talks about, as the scripture says, a man leaves his mother, his father and mother, and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Another version says, and the two become one flesh. A married couple is one, a united body. You know, united for a common purpose, united in serving, united, you know. And it's, I want us to know that the more you journey in a relationship, the more you get that balance of becoming one flesh, of being one flesh. Because when you first start, when they first start with the I do that is done, you're still learning how to get to be that one flesh. That's why sometimes they say some married couples after a while, they look alike, they sound alike. You know, at a certain point, there was some scriptures that I knew was in the Word, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know them that very well. But I've got to know them very well because Pastor kept saying it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And he was ministering one day, and I knew he said the chapter, the book, and I started saying, study. And someone looked at me like, huh? I said, he says it so often. I've taken it on board. And that's the process, you know, of becoming, you learn something. But, you know, you start sounding like person, looking like, because you're working together to become one. It's not that you give up yourself and then you don't become, you become less of yourself. No, you become, you know, you're becoming one with that person. And I want us to look at it, the more we spend with our communication and communing and fellowshipping with the Lord, we'll start sounding more like him and acting like him and representing him and, you know, taking on board. It will not just be letters and words, but we'll start acting out and being more like Christ. But I have to submit my ideas, my wills, my emotions, my way to, I have to submit my mind, my will, my emotions to the Lord. And in a relationship, in a husband-wife relationship, you have to ask, am I willing to do that? Because there's a lot that then you then realize that I need to, you know, die to self about. And it's not a bad thing, because we need to, like it is said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We need to submit our own opinions to Christ. Now, it does say that, you know, some say one flesh, one body. It says, but, you know, and then it says about head, you know, in verse 23 about a husband is the head. You know, head and the body, you know, we can start thinking, wow, is that person overright? No. Remember, we looked at, this is not a force thing, it's just a position. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, every part of my body is very important. To my fingers and my fingernails and my toes. Now, I say this because sometimes if my head now starts feeling it's more important than my hands or my arms, where, you know, it won't get fed because it's my hands, arms that reach for that food and place it in the mouth. So I'm simplifying it that way for us to know that every part is important and needed for the growth and development of the body, the growth of development of becoming one. You know, we even are referred to that, you know, we're one body, you know, when it talks about the church being one body. So we all have, you can even look at it this way, we all have strengths and weaknesses. We all have a skill set that we need to bring to the table. Bring that skill set to the table. Don't lord it over someone. Just put your idea and let, you know, if the communication continues, everybody come to a consensus. It's not a competition. No one's better than the other, you know, but it's the fact that we have these parts and positions that we play, and there has to be, I cannot say enough, great communication to protect, sacrifice and care for each other for the good of the whole. Okay, we are given in this passage a relationship of Christ and the church. We are the church. We are the church. Even if the idea, someone has brought an idea to the table and you think, say, Lord, I submit the idea to you. If it be your will, let it stand. If it not be your will, Father my God, remove it. Remove it. Remove it. Remove it. You can pray. So it might be a case of, instead of being against it, this is another dimension to it. This is what can add to it. This is what, okay? So we just have to, and the other person has to be willing to listen to those ideas. Please, let's listen, because we want to listen to the Lord, okay? I want us to look at verse 24. It says, now as church submits to Christ, so also as wives should submit to their husbands. One pastor said, own husbands in everything. So it's not to everybody, it's submitting to your own husbands. If you're working a team, everybody has to submit their ideas to each other and work out a plan to go for the main one. Okay, we're quickly running out of time. And it says in verse 25 about the husband loving the wife as Christ loved and gave himself up. You know, the amount of times I've heard submit, and this part is like missed out. We need to be aware of every single part, because it makes, you know, if we submit to each other, get everybody in the perfect position and role, then remember, you know, the wives to submit as to Jesus, husbands to love as Christ showed love and gave up sacrifice. Then we're going to, as we work through one by one and even think, how can I apply this in my life? How can I apply this in my marriage? The Lord helping us, we will be showing that humility, love, submission, sacrifice. We'll be showing it. We've fast come to the end of the program. Before we round up fully, I just want to make people aware of a Star Bright program happening on the 31st of January. The tickets are on Eventbrite. Go and get your ticket. It's going to be in the Pavilion Center in Highfield, which is in Stamford Park. Please come and be blessed. We're going to be looking at the power of the name, but we're going to be looking at it, not only that, but we're going to be looking at different aspects, because there's life and death in the tongue. So we really want to start the year declaring good things over ourselves and getting ourselves ready to claim all that God has in store for us. Until next week, have a blessed and glorious week, and bye for now.
Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, say Savior.